So here's a little story I'd like to share with you today that sheds light on the gospel that we just heard. It's the story of St. Peter Claver. Now, St. Peter Claver is not one of the saints that a lot of people know about. A lot of people don't know anything at all about St. Peter Claver. But he lived an extraordinary life with a lot of astonishing stories. Let me share you just one story today from the life of St. Peter Claver, because I think it sheds perfect light to help us make sense of what we just got finished hearing. Okay? So once upon a time, about 400 years ago, in Spain, there lived a man named Peter Claver. Peter Claver was a Jesuit priest and a genuine bona fide scholar. And his life was looking great. Everything was falling into place in the life of Peter Claver, because he was about to be named a full professor at the University of Barcelona, a position of no small prestige, and he meant that he could expect a life of honor and prestige and security and comfort and ease for decades and decades to come. Let me tell you, things were looking great for Peter Claver, when suddenly something happened that ruined everything. Because Peter had a friend named Alphonse Rodrigue. He's later known as Saint Alphonse Rodrigue, who had just spent an extended amount of time in the Spanish colonies in the New World, Central America, South America, what was then known as New Spain, specifically what's today known as the nation of Colombia. And Alphonse Rodrigue was terribly, terribly upset. He went to see Peter Claver one day in his study. And he says, "I know what people are saying about the New World. They're saying it's a place of adventure and excitement and limitless opportunities and riches untold. But I can never unsee what I saw there." And he told Peter Claver all about the slave trade. Shiploads of human cargo from Africa, stacked into the cargo hold of a ship, packed in like bricks in a kiln, only to be unloaded at dock and sold for profit. He told them about the stench. He told them about the disease. He told them about the filth. He told them about the smell. And Peter Claver was terribly, terribly upset at what he heard. Alphonse Rodrigue said, "Somebody needs to do something about this." And Peter said, "That's exactly right. Somebody needs to do something about this." And Alphonse went his way, and Peter tried to go back to his books and his lecture hall and his library and his pipe tobacco, but his conscience wouldn't give him rest. "Somebody needs to do something about this," Peter Claver kept saying to himself over and over again, until in prayer he realized that somebody was himself. And Peter gave away everything that he owned, all of his position, all of his friends, all of his possessions, and he got in a ship and he went to the New World, where he spent the rest of his life caring for the slaves. A slave of slaves, they called Peter Claver. He did everything in his power to make their lives better, to alleviate their distress, and they loved him for it. They listened to his every word, and because of Peter Claver, 300,000 people came to God. He personally baptized 300,000 people who loved him because of his sheer goodness and sacrifice for their benefit. Somebody turned to Peter Claver and they said, "Tell me, Peter, why did you do it?" Peter said, "Why did I do what?" He said, "Why did you give up everything that you own, come to a land unknown, spend your life doing dirty work at the service of slaves? Why did you do it?" And Peter answered, "Because Jesus Christ was passing by, and he called me by name, and I could not ignore the voice that I heard." Jesus Christ was passing by, called me by name, and I could not ignore the voice that I heard. That's the life of Peter Claver. That was the life of so many of the saints. And that's the story that helps us to make sense of what we just heard here in the Gospel of Mark with the story of poor blind Bartimaeus. Want to know what's interesting about Bartimaeus here in the Gospel? Bartimaeus used to be somebody really important. Boy, had he fallen low. Now a blind beggar on the streets. Want to know how we know that Bartimaeus used to be somebody really important? Because not only is he mentioned by name, but his father is mentioned by name. Almost unprecedented in the Gospels, unless the original audience that heard this was supposed to know the name and the family. It would be like someone said, John Kennedy, son of Joseph Patrick Kennedy, right? Everybody knows the family, everybody knows the name. Boy, had he fallen, begging on the streets, a blind beggar in Jericho. And he wasn't about to let Jesus Christ pass him by, not without pulling his ear and asking for a favor. Son of David, have pity on me, Bartimaeus cries out. First time in the Gospels anybody ever calls Jesus by his messianic and rightful title, the royal descendant of David. Son of David, have pity on me. What's fascinating and what's ironic about that? Crowd full of perfectly healthy people, and the only one who can clearly see what's going on is the blind guy. Jesus Christ was passing by, and he wasn't about to let him pass by, not without pulling his ear and asking for a favor. Jesus spent most of his life passing by people who ignored him, and it happened again and again and again. It's the story of Jesus' life. When he was born in Bethlehem, think about it for a second. Born in Bethlehem. And who knew about it? A couple of shepherd boys, nobody else. Died on the cross. The very axis of all history turns on a dime based on what happened here and what happened 3 days later. And who knew about it? Only a few very brave, very devout, very close friends of his who followed him all the way to Calvary. And Jesus walked the streets in Judea and Jerusalem and all across Israel and Galilee and Nazareth. People passed him by. They had no idea who he was. I bet you anything, that if I could load all of us up, great big time machine, and all of us go right back to the gospel, and we all go sit on the streets of Jericho, and Jesus Christ is passing by, I bet you not one of you lets him pass by. I bet you form a great big long line, right? You all take your turn, but you're not going to let him pass by. Not without bending his ear for a favor or two, correct? Correct. Okay. Here's the question I want you to think about today. Are you letting him pass you by right now? Are you letting him pass you by right now? That's what I ask you to think about. Every time I stand up here and say Mass, there's three things on my mind. Number one, the intention of the Mass and all of your intentions as well. All you good people walk through the doors of this church, heart full of problems. I want to assure you, they're on this altar. I'm praying for them all. It's the first thing on my mind. Second thing on my mind when I'm up here saying Mass is I'm fully aware that I am at this moment offering sacramentally the sacrifice of Calvary present for all of us. Great mystery through these most unworthy hands. It's the second thing I'm thinking about. But you know what the third thing is that I'm thinking about when I'm up here saying Mass? It's all the people who ought to be here who are not here. You ought to see this place on Ash Wednesday, stuffed to the rafters, right? But where are those same people on Sunday? Nowhere to be found. Christmas Eve, place is so full, we could open up a whole other church and fill that too. But where are all these people in a week? Nowhere to be found. See, here's the mystery that I ask you to grapple with. When Jesus walked this earth, his divinity was hidden under the appearance of his humanity. And people let him pass by. And you want to know where he's hidden now? His real presence has passed mysteriously into the sacraments. I ask you to consider whether you're allowing Jesus Christ to pass you by. And if you don't want him to pass you by, Three things I ask you to think about here today, okay? Three things, lessons that we can learn from the lives of the saints and from poor blind Bartimaeus. Here's the first. If you don't want Jesus Christ to pass you by, learn to judge the values of this world by the standards of the gospel and the church and the saints and everything that means. And do not judge the gospel by the standards of this world. Learn to draw a deaf ear to the secular world and its criticisms. The world cares about what's profitable, they care about what's popular, and they care about what's easy. So many people take the standards of the gospel and they line them up and they put them in the dock and they put themselves in the judge's seat and pass judgment on Christ and the saints and all of our legacy. And anybody who's been alive for more than 15 years knows the values of this world are spinning faster than you can possibly count. Things that people thought were absolutely ridiculous 10, 15 years ago, today they're mainstream. And who knows what's coming another 10 or 15 years, right? Craziness followed by even more craziness. There's a motto of the Carthusian order, and it says, Stat crux dum volvitur orbis. And loosely translated, that means the world spins and spins and spins, but the cross stands still. Learn to judge this world by the standards of the gospel. Don't judge the gospel by the standards of this world. And that's Bartimaeus here in the gospel story. Son of David, have pity on me. And the crowd, who represents public opinion, they say, shut your mouth. Does Bartimaeus listen to the crowd? Heck no. Public opinion tries to send him a message. He just refuses delivery. Son of David, have pity on me. If we want to make sure we're hearing the voice of Christ, we have to do just as he did. That's the first thing. Here's the second. If you don't want to miss the voice of Christ, be prepared to sacrifice. Now, I've said this before. Love is positively made of sacrifice. If you want to know how much someone loves you, ask them one question. How much are you willing to sacrifice for me? Because, as I've said before, love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. It's a choice to do what's best for you. No matter what it costs me, that's why love is made out of sacrifice. The very call of Christ is nothing but sacrifice. And you see that here in the gospel. There's a little line here, and I bet you most people missed it. But when Jesus called to Bartimaeus, it says he tossed aside his cloak. In the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us that a blind man or a beggar cannot be asked to give up his cloak, even in a court of law, even as a consequence for a fine or committing a crime, because his cloak was all he had. It was his cover from the sun by day. It was his bed by night. And as he sat there begging, his cloak was his bank account. That's where he kept all of his donations if he got any. So Jesus Christ calls, and what does he do? He throws his cloak aside. Throws it aside. Total sacrifice. Listen, we all say we want to follow Christ. But do you understand that the more you follow him, the more he's going to ask of you? He's going to ask for your time. Anybody who spends the bulk of their time in selfish pursuits is not listening to the voice of Christ. He's going to ask for more and more and more of your time in his will and not your own. He's going to ask for your treasure. I hope you already know that. There's no such thing as following Christ and not being unstintingly generous. And honestly, when it comes right down to it, because the call is from God himself, what he's asking for is your whole life. Sacrifice, brothers and sisters. If you're not prepared to make it, you're going to miss his call. That's the second thing we learn from this gospel. And here's the third. Learn to understand that when Christ calls you, he's not going to tell you where he's going. You follow him on his way, not your own. You follow him on his terms, not your own. When Jesus calls poor blind Bartimaeus, the gospel ends by saying, Bartimaeus followed him on his way. There's so many people who say they want to follow Christ and they say they want to carry the cross, right? but they want to do it in their own way. As soon as any real hardship comes into their life with regard to, I don't know, maybe it's family, or maybe it's financial, or maybe it's health, or maybe it's something at work, could be anything in the world. As soon as any actual cross comes into their life, what do? They turn to God and they say, "Why me, God, why me?" Understand, when you follow the Lord, please know it's on His terms, not your own. And you want to know what else? He doesn't tell you where He's going. Do you think that Peter Claver knew, as he was sitting there in his professor's pulpit, that one day he'd give it all up and go serve slaves in the New World? Of course not. Did any of the apostles know that they were going to follow this rabbi fisherman, give themselves up to a martyr's death? Of course not. We don't know where he's leading. But when you say you want to carry the cross, remember, let it be on his terms and not your own. And you will not miss the call of Christ. One of my favorite little stories from the life of St. Augustine that I know I've shared with you before. He said that when I was a young man, I used to fear many things. I feared losing my reputation. I feared losing my money. I feared losing my girlfriend. But now that I'm old, the only thing that I fear is Jesus Christ passing me by. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.